Computer, on.
I am on, sir. How can I help you?
Access program. It's your break.
Access code needed. Voice verification phrase, please.
It's your break. Take it.
Launching program.
Launching.
Welcome to It's Your Break.
Welcome to It's Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz. And coming up on the show, it's all about life lessons. Things we do in life, the things we learn from them, the things that we wish we didn't learn from them. Yeah, I got a lot of those in my memory. But it makes us who we are, and it helps us evolve. So, what do I have in plan? Well, I've gotten somebody who's written down their life experiences. It's all next on It's Your Break.
It's Your Break, the show designed to give you a break. Sit back and take a break. Get a cup of coffee if that's your thing, and enjoy.
Welcome to It's Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz. And you know, when you're sitting around sometimes with your friends, is the best thing in the world. But then, you know, that one person can rip a good one without meaning to. And that sets the mood entirely different for the rest of the night. It's either going to gross people out, or it's going to be hysterically funny. Most of the time, if it's just us guys hanging around and we're not with our spouses or significant others, it's hilarious. But then, there's those times in life where, you know, that would be utterly grotesque, okay? So, these life experiences lead up to almost anything you do in life. Whether you're meaning to or not, things can be really funny or they can be gross. And they can be happy, sad, or anything else. So, life has a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings. I'm bringing somebody on with me right now who's had a lot of life experiences. So much so that she decided to write them in a book. It's not uncommon, but you might find the title of the book kind of uncommon. The Toilet's Overflowing and the Dog is Wearing My Underwear. Yeah, it puts a smile on your face right away. I know. So without further ado, let's bring on Debbie Rapolo. Did I say that right? Rapolo.
Absolutely.
We were actually kind of talking about your name before going on. And you're like, well, people, depending on what part of the country you're from, it's different. But both ways, which I just said, were correct, according to you.
Yeah, it's good for me. As long as you call me in time for supper, I will answer to any either version.
That's hilarious. So, tell us about this book, because I haven't read the book. I will tell people up front, I have not read this book, but it was such an intriguing title. I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and pull her on before I can get the book in my hand and just talk about the topic, because life experiences are what sets the internet on fire, it seems like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, back whenever you're a kid, you have all kinds of adventures, and you wonder why after you have one little experience where you might pour shampoo all over the cat and your mom gives you a horrified look, why she's tired the rest of the day. Well, I found that. Oh, yeah, I did that quite a lot. Let's not talk about the time I brought a horse into my mother's house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's life experiences like that from a parent's perspective, and I thought I was going to have it made whenever I became a parent.
Right.
I thought, you think your parents make it look so easy. You think that parenting is going to be a piece of cake until you walk into the bathroom one morning because it's entirely too quiet.
Right.
In the house. You know, your toddler's in the bathroom and it's too quiet. And you walk in and you have an epiphany because you realize that cell phones, toddlers, and toilets don't mix. And no, cell phones absolutely don't float. So I've taken those kind of stories that I've had in my parenting journey. There are a couple of stories in there that are a little bit of a tearjerkers because I'm sure everyone will realize and agree, not everything about parenting is funny all the time. But it does help to find the humor in almost any situation. So it's really kind of Irma Bombeck type story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I totally would agree with that. I mean, the Irish, even, they pride themselves on having happy funerals. So, you know... It's this custom here in the United States. We're so grim about some of the stuff, and there is a time for mourning, and people have got to understand that you have to have a mourning thing, but you need to think of those happy thoughts. And for some people, it may be a little harder, you know, depending on your life situations and things. But I guarantee you, there's something that you loved about that particular person, or you wouldn't be attending that funeral.
So, oh, absolutely. And, you know, my father always used to stress the same thing to me. He said, whenever I pass from this world, I want you to remember the good things. And I want you to take that moment to think about them and laugh, because that was him. He had a wonderful sense of humor. And he always told me, if the only thing you can do is sit around and cry about me, you're not really honoring my memory.
Right. And, you know, it's so funny because here in Kentucky, I mean, I go to the funerals, and depending on what part of Kentucky I'm in, they're either going to be sobbing the entire time or they're going to be laughing. And the majority of the time, if you go to my family's funeral, it's a mixture of mostly laughter and a little bit of crying. Typically, the crying starts when the actual funeral thing happens and they start playing the sad songs that bring back the crucial memories, you know. But typically, even the preacher himself, he'll bring that out of a lull, and he'll tell a story about the particular person or a story he was handed from a family member that's usually pretty funny or enlightening, and bringing the spirits back around, which is kind of interesting. So it is so fascinating how we here in the United States think so differently geographically and culturally.
Oh, exactly. And actually, you and I are not too far apart. As we talked about before the show, I live here in Texas, in a little town called San Marcos, just south of Austin. But here, it's the same thing. There's a mixture of laughter and, of course, a mixture of tears. I would say the most bizarre funeral that I went to was for one of my college professors, who actually was a mentor of mine. And she really enjoyed life. She celebrated life. And she believed living life to its fullest. And I remember very clearly that one moment during the funeral, we were listening to Ave Maria. And the next minute, I'm in the jailhouse now came over the speakers.
That's a good one.
Ooh, that was her way of celebrating, having us celebrate her memory, because that's the way she was.
It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest, 100%, to hear one of my friends that would pass away, and they played AC/DC's Highway to Hell at the funeral. So, you know, I'm serious. He's that big of an AC/DC fan. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have it in his will at some point, because it's one of his favorite songs in the entire world. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things as well. So. It is just fascinating. I found people so fascinating. I found stories. I can sit to my dad's a great storyteller. I can listen to him for hours tell a story. And for me, I can't even tell a joke right. I can talk to somebody back and forth and converse. Okay, I can fake that to some extent. But when it comes to actually reciting the story verbatim and memorizing it and telling it almost exactly the same exact way every single time, my dad is super excellent at that. And one of my uncles is the same way. And it's just amazing how their detail just works that way.
Yeah, the same thing. Of course, I'm a storyteller myself, and my stories tend to get a little bit long sometimes, and sometimes I can't tell the joke quite right. I can write it down, but I can't tell it quite right. And my children will look at me and say, before we're old, Mom, get to your point. we're getting cobwebs here, Mom.
I'm going to have to remember that, because my dad's long-winded when he's lecturing me. So I'm going to have to remember that. So what actually inspired you to go ahead and write this book that we had talked about in the beginning of this show?
Well, like I said, there are so many parents that I've encountered throughout life that some of them just take parenting so seriously. They feel like they have to be a perfectionist at it. and they're at such a high stress level, I'm going to be cliche for a minute and say they look like a cat in a room full of rockers. I mean, they look like they're fixing to walk into a Hershey's chocolate store and just eat the entire inventory. So I wanted them to realize that, hey, look, there are other parents on the same journey, similar to yours. Our kids, none of our kids are perfect. There's going to be instances where they are going to whip out a permanent marker and play dot to dot on your family Dalmatian.
Right.
But it's not going to matter 10 years from now. It's not going to matter 5 years from now. Try to find the humor in it and just go with it. Everyone makes mistakes. Learn from the experience, laugh about it, and keep going. And of course, I wanted to entertain people. I love to tell stories. I love to joke around. I love to laugh. And I wanted to share some of that with everyone else.
So tell us about maybe one of the most memorable stories that always comes to your mind that you put in the book.
Well, one of the most memorable stories actually is one that's pretty recent. And with this being Autism Month, and I wanted to share that one. It's called Life is Beautiful, Even Whenever It's a Roller Coaster. Whenever my younger son was diagnosed with autism, I thought that my world was crumbling. But I decided, and a lot of parents go through that, whenever your child is born, you have dreams for them. You believe they're going to be a football player. You hope that they'll be president of the United States, maybe a fantastic trial attorney. So whenever a doctor tells you that your child is going to be doing well if he can complete full sentences or be able to cut with scissors, it's devastating. But you regroup and you move on. You find the resources for that child. You have new dreams and new goals for your child based on their abilities and what they want to do. But getting back to life is beautiful, even whenever it's a roller coaster. I would take my child out in public, and one of the symptoms of autism is the children will sometimes stim. Maybe they might flap, maybe they may spin, maybe they may yell out, and they're doing this because there's something in their environment that's overstimulating them, and they're doing this so they can reconnect with their environment and calm down. Well, if you're not familiar with autism, you don't know what's going on. So many people would come up to me and say, bless your heart, what in the world is going on with your child? And I would explain to them, well, he has autism. It affects 1 in 68 children worldwide. And they said, well, you must be burdened. No, not really, because you see, these kids are really teachers. They teach us to see the things that you and I and other adults are missing in life. If you remember as a child how fantastic a sunset was, they see the fine details of the colors of the sunset. They are fascinated by the path a raindrop makes going down a window pane. So, and you see the good things along with the bad things. You celebrate when, after 7 years of not being able to opt to speak, your child walks into the bedroom and says, "Mama, I love you."
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And that went. Oh, it is. Let me tell you, I think I went through a box of Kleenex that night because I was so excited. And of course, my son looked at me like, okay, something is going on with Mom. Don't know quite what, but I'm just going to slip out of the room right now. See you later. But that was very memorable. And there's other instances where you go into a restaurant. And it's very simple to order a hamburger for your child. And unintentionally, the waiter will cut the hamburger in half, and your child has a meltdown because they're used to routine and they never do eat their hamburger cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, that's an experience where you just want to crawl into the hamburger and hide from the rest of the world. But at the end of this particular story, it's a Saturday morning, and I'm dancing to Uptown Funk in the living room. And my son comes into the living room. My son, who's 13 and who has autism, comes in and he starts stepping in time to the music, which is a very big accomplishment for someone on the autism spectrum. And we dance together. And it's a celebration of the human spirit. It's a celebration of life, of mother and son. And at the end of the song, he looks at me. And he looks at my shirt, and I'm wearing a black shirt with a La Vita è Bella, which is Italian for life is beautiful, written on my shirt. He looks at it, and he reads it in Italian, La Vita è Bella, Mama. And I said, yes, it means life is beautiful. And you realize no matter what life hands you, it is truly beautiful.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the stories I put in my book. Another story that I put in my book has to do with getting a Thanksgiving turkey stuck on my hand.
Really?
I got a turkey stuck on my hand. I don't know how I did it, but I did it. And it almost took an act of Congress to get the turkey off my hand. I thought I would have to go through life for the rest of my life with a decaying turkey in my hand.
Hey, quick, honey, melt me some butter.
Exactly. You got some stuffing to go with that, don't you?
Yeah. That is interesting. So how did you end up managing to get it off?
Well, actually, my husband is very calm. He's very collected. Me, on the other hand, I run around, and I've got to say it, I run around like a turkey with my head cut off.
I was curious to say the same thing.
But he said, hey, it's no big deal. Come on over here to the sink. So I walked over to the sink and he poured a little bit of olive oil down into the cavity and my hand slipped right out.
That's interesting. So do you think it was maybe you clenching so much that got it stuck, or did you try to expand your hand kind of and get it out that way and fold it, or what do you think happened?
I think what actually happened, looking back on it, this has been a while ago. Do you remember whenever the horseshoe pinky rings were the craze? Horseshoe nail pinky ring?
Uh-huh.
I was wearing that ring whenever I was helping him clean out turkeys for a Thanksgiving fundraiser for a local charity. And I'm thinking that pinky ring got caught on one of those bones inside the turkey.
I just thought that maybe you were reaching in for the gravy pack that's hidden in some of them and you just wouldn't let go of it. You're like, it's coming out.
the gravy's mine, right?
Right. It's mine, damn it. But, it is so funny. There's so many life experiences and there's some things I would like to tell people, but I really can't. For life experiences stuff because I've got people that don't want me sharing this story. That's basically it. Like there's stories that I would love to be able to tell somebody that are absolutely hilarious. They're funny. They're hysterical. But for certain reasons, I can't tell them. It's not like that it's bad. It's just, when people start to run for political office, those stories kind of start to get hid.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen.
So it's nothing that's really bad, but it does show people sometimes out of character, but it's something that happened in their youth. And it's not like they were saying some racist comment or anything like that, but to talking to the wrong person or to the any particular person, they could take offense to the story, to be honest. So I mean, it's just one of those things. Sometimes you have to walk a fine line in life, but I don't care what line I walk because I'm going to be me. Now, I'm not going to go out and be hateful to somebody, but I'm still going to be me, and if I offend somebody, I'm sorry, but sometimes it may come across, it's not intentional, but it may come across that way because we all believe differently and we all have our own convictions. So, and I applaud people with, and I tell them, I said, you know, if you believe in that, live it. I said, don't say it and not act it. So, I mean, that's one of the things I always tell people sometimes too. I said, if that's your way, all right. But if you're going to go and, you know, say it, you're something and act totally different, then, you know, poo on you. So.
Exactly. Be true to yourself.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. So if somebody was going to go get your book today, where would we be able to find it? As I stumbled over my words there.
That's okay. I made you tongue-tied.
Exactly.
Wow, yay. Well, actually, it has a wonderful, wonderful review. You can find it at barnesandnoble.com is where it has the awesome review at. Or you can find it at amazon.com. Or you can find it at dancingwithbearpublishing.com.
Well, that's
and
really
that's cool. The name of my publisher.
Well, hopefully I'll pick it up and be able to read it, and maybe we can even converse a little bit more on this topic and life experiences. And I that's one of my favorite things is to hear somebody's real life experiences. And the touching experience that you relayed there is just amazing. And I really kind of just... you know, just want to focus on the show just about that, you know, autism month. You said it was this month. And
right.
When you're experiencing life and you have friends and family members who have disabilities, not just autism, but disabilities, it can be tough and it can be a struggle for families. But as you said, if you talk to any of these families, any of them, I don't know a single one that personally, now I know they're out there because my aunt has raised foster kids for years and years and years. And I've seen people who just don't have that affection for their kids. And it almost brings a tear to your eye, you know, to be able to like, really, people are that way, but they are sometimes, not all the time.
Right.
But for the people that I've got to interact with, you're right. It's not a burden on them. Do they have stressful times? Do they get emotional about it sometimes? Does it get strenuous? Absolutely. But they would never trade that kid in for anything.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Very gift.
And compassion is just amazing. So I'm assuming once you got the diagnosis of your child being diagnosed with autism, what did you start doing as a parent? Did you start researching it immediately? Did you start going to you know, some of the foundations and contacting people there, or did the medical provider start, you know, giving you information? Because I'm just kind of curious of what happened after that fact.
Well, absolutely. And both my husband and I did start doing on the research on the internet. You know, the internet has a wealth of information. You just have to filter through it. So we did do research on that to find more about autism. We scrambled to find resources, physical therapy, speech therapy, and occupational therapy for your child. Also, you start meeting with the teachers to see what age you can get for your child in the classroom if they're classroom age. You do start finding support groups to become a member of. So it helps to be able to talk to someone on the same journey that you're on because you have so many emotions running through you. The first is disbelief. Like I said, no, not my child. Not my child. Then you go through anger. Why me? What in the world did I do? And then you go through sadness, of course. And then you finally come to acceptance. And you realize that you've got this. You have to have this for your child, that no matter what happens, you will get together, you will get through this as a family, as a unit, and you can do anything that you put your mind to.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Debbie, thank you so much for talking with us about this experience and even enlighten me a little bit more on you know, what you guys went through, you know, with that. And it's such a blessing to hear some of the progresses that's been made. And congratulations on the book. That's just an amazing accomplishment altogether. That's one of my goals, is to actually write a book. So I've written several little short stories, but I haven't quite got to the book level yet. And again, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, you can go there, as well as what was your publishing company there?
DancingWithBearPublishing.com. And you can find even more information on my website at Debbie Ropolo, ROPPOLO.weebly.com.
Thank you so much for coming on the show with us, Debbie.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me, and I've had a great time.
It's Your Break is produced by Spark of Vision. Executive producer Jonathan Mertz. Announcer Mark Starr. Music from Sound Ideas. Host Jonathan Mertz. It's Your Break is owned and distributed by Spark of Vision. For more information on our host and announcers, visit itsyourbreak.com's cast section. And follow us on Twitter at It's Your Break.